I've got a lot to say. Okay, but I won't say it all this morning because we'll kind of separate it out. But I've just been reflecting a little. Do you ever reflect? Oh, that's good. And this is my 40th year of being at this church. Wow. I wasn't looking for a round of applause there. But I came when I was 20 years old. And obviously everybody knows I'm 60 now, if you can do the maths. And, you know, I started off as just a young man in the church. And now I am the father of the house, which is quite a journey, isn't it? And there's a responsibility to that. And I want to share some of that responsibility with you this morning. What do I see when I look out at you? Okay? And really, it's a reflection, because those that have journeyed with me know me. They've known my kind of transformation, what God has done in my life. You know, you have seen me grow into what I am, and I'm still growing. I am not the finished product, thank goodness, because there is still more to come. There is still more development, more transformation, more transition that God always wants to do in our lives. But one of the key desires, the key vision of me, of my heart, is to see the church working as God intended it to work. And that's what we're working to here. Because there's got to be evidence in the church that Jesus Christ is alive. There's got to be something in here that is different than anywhere else, and that can only be found in church, not just this church, but in church life, because Jesus is alive and he loves us, and he wants to see this amazing thing that he's done for us, this life that he gave for us, actually transform the world. There is potential through the cross of Jesus Christ, through all that he did, for the world to be at peace, to be at joy, to be fulfilled. It's all, the potential is there. And the role of the church is to display that. We've got to display who God is. And one of the things that we've really grown to understand, we are experiencing, is unity, which is absolutely critical to displaying all that God is. God is a God of unity. He doesn't fall out with himself. He doesn't fall out with us. He's a God of unity. And with unity comes something that is supernatural. He says there comes a blessing with that. So the heart of God is this. We find it in Ephesians 1, 9 to 11. I'll just take my glasses off. I'm just at that age where I can't see anything really. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. He wants to bring unity. So the unity that we have individually is that we have been made right with him. We are in unity with God through Jesus Christ. So we have this relationship of unity. And that's got to be reflected throughout the world. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to reflect unity throughout the world. The sound of heaven touching earth is the unity of the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is building his church. He is doing something with us. He is making us be more like him. And as we become more like him, we display unity. We are a shining light of unity, of what it means to be in that relationship with him. Have you ever been anywhere where there is the opposite of unity? It's not usually a very nice place to be. Squabbles and falling out and disagreements and misunderstandings can birth stuff in us that is really not good in our lives. We can get bitterness and anger, and all those kind of things can just be birthed when we are not in unity. And that's happened in churches, hasn't it, over the years. There have been separations, there have been falling outs, there have been those things that cause people not to be able to work out their salvation together. Unity is critical and important. God said in Psalms, and we all know this, and we love this psalm, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's a great place to be when the church is in unity. I love coming here because we're in unity. When I come here, I'm not looking over my back to see who's going to stab me. I don't, because we're in unity. We have that relationship. We're in unity. Some ministers can't say that. There are ministers in churches that don't know where the next stab's coming from. But I thank God that in this place, unity is evident, it's experienced, and with it comes a blessing. And this is the conclusion to the psalm. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down onto his collar, the collar of his robes. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So there is something about unity that brings a blessing. He says bestows there, that gives or presents a blessing. But if we read in the King James Version, it's quite a little bit stronger than that. It says he commands a blessing. When God sees us living in unity, displaying the unity of Jesus Christ, then he commands, he gives instructions. Blessing will come when we live together in unity. It's really important for church that we do this. The blessing, what are the blessings of unity? Well, peace, joy, well-being, purpose, the presence of God. There is something about the presence of God that brings blessing, and that comes through unity. I'll talk next week on how we keep unity, because that's really important that we understand that. Because there are times when we can fall out of unity, we can have separation, but there is things that we can do to actually work that out together. It says in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Then later on in that chapter it says to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. When we're in unity, the enemy is always trying to break that unity. But together, we've got to make every effort to keep it. Together, we've got to become unified in the faith. We've got to work out our salvation together. We've got to work out, what do we believe God is calling us to do? Who do we believe he is? Can we be in unity around our faith? And that's why we come together, we listen, we learn, because we want to be in unity in this faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We get our unity because we are saved, born again. We have this unity with God. He breaks into our lives. And we are saved to something. We are saved from sin. We are saved to something. We are saved to a new life. We are saved to serve. We are saved to display the fullness of God. We are saved to do good works. We are saved to do something, not just to be saved. Our unity comes from our relationship with him. And it is something that is supernatural when we live together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So we've got to learn to love God. This unity we have with God, as we love God, then we love each other. And I thought, but this is one of our key scriptures here, that we have to learn to love God first. If we don't love God, we can't love anybody else. You can try, but it can be really hard. But when we begin to love God and we have that relationship of unity with Him, then He pours something into our hearts that actually causes us to love those around us. We begin to love our neighbours. We begin to love those that are quite difficult to love sometimes. But God is pouring into our hearts all the time love for other people. So if you're not loving other people, then maybe you're not loving God. If you're struggling with somebody in your life, then maybe you need to love God more. Love Him with everything, and you will love your neighbour as yourself. That's the first step of unity. We need to love God with everything that we have. One of the attractions of church when people come in is actually experiencing the demonstration of unity. Because the blessing that is sort of part of the atmosphere when people come into church and into this church is because we're in unity, God is commanding a blessing. And that blessing isn't always for you, but we enjoy it. But it's for those that actually visit, for our community. As we are in unity, we actually begin to bless everybody around us as well. There is a supernatural act that happens when we are in unity. When we are loving God with all our heart, we begin to love our neighbour, and the blessing of God just flows out of this place and touches our community. Our vision statement, just in case you didn't know that we had one, we do. We haven't talked about it for a long time. Is to demonstrate God in our conversations, our actions, and our reactions. Wow. Sometimes we're very good at talking about things, but our actions and our reactions very often give away what's going on in our heart. They do, don't they? Particularly our reactions. When somebody stands on your foot, when somebody presses your buttons, and we go, God bless you, don't we? God bless you. That's only God trying to make me grow. Thank you, God. But we know what it's like when somebody's pressing on, and our reactions are critical to demonstrating our unity with God. I want to talk a little bit about how we do all that stuff next time. Because my message is called, How Should Christians Behave? Okay, so we'll look at that next week. So if there's nobody here, I know that. Now, I don't tell you how to do anything, but the Bible does. It's a great little book, isn't it? It tells us how to behave. And there's specific chapters in Scripture that tell us how to behave as Christians. What should we expect from one another? How should we see one another? And how should I behave? Really, really important stuff. Because if we get it right, it is powerful. It is powerful because it's demonstrating unity. But I just want to really underline that as church here, I believe we are in unity. And one of the things that we as leaders are trying to do all the time is maintain unity, because it's really important. It is really important to display all that God has for us through the way that we live together. We've got to behave in a way that demonstrates God. But we'll talk about that next week. So we are blessed because we are in unity. We're in unity with God. We're in unity with one another. And I would encourage you, if you are not, then love God more. Love Him more. And He will equip you to love others. If you try and love somebody without loving God, you're doing it in your own strength, in your own understanding, and you won't get the same results. So let's, as a church, be in unity together. Let's demonstrate what that means. Let's experience the blessing of God whenever we gather together and worship Him. Right, I'll finish there. Thank you.